long as we care.
Okay, we're chapter 6. We left off last week in, as we were saying, we found out Paul, he's going through the, from chapter 1 to chapter 4, basically he lays down some doctrine, corrective doctrine. And then 5 and 6, he starts dealing with the practical. Because it's not always about doctrine. The meaning of doctrine, you know what doctrine does? Doctrine is a set of instructions and teaching designed to bring about a change in your, not only your thinking, but your behavior. That's what doctrine. You ever heard somebody say that he went to this place and he was indoctrinated?
Yeah, like the army.
It's not just information. You can tell because there's something that he's doing something now and it's different. Like a cult, if a person gets involved in a cult, their behavior is different even toward their family. That's why they'll say, well, he's been indoctrinated by this cult. Because the teaching brought about not only a mental change, but it brought about a behavioral change. He's different. And that's what the doctrine, when Paul talks about only this doctrine is sound doctrine, this doctrine is designed to bring about a transformed mind and also a walk that goes with it.
Well, look who's here.
So we have to...
Sorry about that.
No, that's... So this is what we're looking at, Galatians chapter 6, is when he lays down all that information about because the Galatians had gotten sidetracked, they had gotten indoctrinated by just the wrong doctrine, by the Judaizers. But Paul comes back, he has to reinforce who he is, he has to reinforce his message, and then he talks about what they got, what they get, when they believe the message, and what the aim is of the message. Right? Mm-hmm. And his aim is always for all saints is what?
Edification.
Edification. To grow up in Christ. Because he always wants, his aim is to use us. You did know that, right?
Yes. Salvation is just the start.
It's just a start. So, when he gets to the Galatians and he says in verse chapter 6, verse 1, he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye..." I'm missing some papers here, some pieces. "But ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And as we go forward, I may have to get you to help me out, Frank.
Oh, yeah, I will. I'll help you.
I pulled out thumbfuls of Galatians chapter 6. So I just won't let go, Mike. I can't let go of this Bible for some reason. It's falling apart, but I can't let it go. But if a man be overtaken in a fault, he said, "Ye which are spiritual." Now, you know what I like is the fact that he says, "If a man," the word he used for fault, it means sin, but here he says, "If a man be overtaken in a fault." You ever notice that? Is why wouldn't he say if a man be overtaken in a sin?
Because sin is the old man. It's the flesh. It's not me, but it's the sin. It's the sin in my flesh. It's Romans 7.
Okay. If it overtakes you, that means it has what?
Control.
Control over you. What's another word for control? In Romans 6.
Obsessed.
Dominion. And what would allow sin to have dominion over you is when you do what? When you put yourself...
yield to it.
Under it.
Under what? He says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you. Sin shall not overtake you, for you are not under the..."
Under
law, but what? So when the brother here in Galatia, he's overtaken, guess why he's overtaken?
Put himself under performance?
Because he put himself under the law. He put himself under performance. And the moment you do that, you know how much fault you'll find?
100%.
A lot of fault. But he says if he's overtaken in a fault, he didn't say send anybody. He said, you who are
spiritual.
Wait a minute. I thought all believers were spiritual.
No, but you could be in the, you can be carnal, or you can be in the spiritual.
Spiritual is right. Spiritual is spiritually minded. Is
under the control of the Holy Spirit, allowing yourself to be guided and directed and led by the Spirit.
I like led by the Spirit, right. And we always think about this. Just because a believer, just because he's saved, doesn't mean that he's spiritual. Matter of fact, he talked to the Corinthians. He says, I could not speak unto you as what?
Spiritual.
But as what?
Carnal, as unto babes.
So what makes a man spiritual? Is he's given himself to the doctrine. As we found in chapter 4, that he's appropriating his sonship. He's going forward with the Lord. He's being led of the Lord. He's being led of the Spirit. He's concerned about the things of God. He's interested in the things of God. He's subjecting himself to the things of God. He's renewing his mind and is showing in his, not only his thought pattern, but also in his behavior. Going to church doesn't make you spiritual. Going to a Bible class doesn't make you spiritual. You may be in the pursuit, but the moment you take that doctrine and you begin to digest it, and you begin to let it dictate what you think and do, that's when you are what? Spiritual. So, you know, we were talking about how important it is, the doctrine, how important the doctrine is. And we'll put this progression up here just because for memory's sake. We talked about last week, the first thing that comes is what? Salvation. Then
surrender.
Then.
I thought suffering went under was next.
Suffering.
No.
Then what?
Well, now you missed one. There's one that goes before.
Did I miss one?
Yeah.
Salvation, surrender, sanctification.
That's it. Service. Good job.
Then service. All right.
Suffering.
Right. Now that's just, you could go through Paul's epistles and you'll find that. And that is your, that is the progression of a saint's life. Somewhere along in there, you'll find yourself. And every believer. So, and this is all, some people just get saved. And that's where they stop. That's not a spiritual believer.
Some, they get saved, though.
But they get saved. That's good.
Fire.
And that's a good thing, Steve. You can't play it cheap. But the thing is God wouldn't talk about it, the glory that shall be revealed. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. If God didn't want us to go forward, he would have been okay with this. Right? If God didn't want us to go forward, he would have been okay with just saving everybody. Right?
Sounds good.
But that's why we looked at Romans 8 last week. And you'll go through that. It's all through. We won't look at all those things, but I'll give you one thing that Paul said. Paul talked about it in his last letter in 2 Timothy. He said, "I finished." When he got saved, he said, "I finished my course." Did he? He got saved, didn't he? Did he surrender? Was he sanctified? Did he serve?
Sure
did he suffer?
Absolutely.
He got to 2 Timothy. He says, "I finished my course. I've kept the faith.
Therefore,
henceforth, there's laid up for me." Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hold your hand in Galatians. Four and five. Matter of fact, four and five. He says, "But watch thou," and he's talking to Timothy, his son in the faith, who he's encouraging for Timothy to endure the sufferings. If you look at in chapter 1 and chapter 2, he talks about that. But he finishes up and he says, verse 5, "But watch thou in all things, endure what?" Hey, up here for a minute. Endure what?
Suffering.
Endure afflictions. Endure afflictions. Look where Timothy is. What's next for Timothy?
Glory.
Okay, so you would expect Paul to next thing he would talk about would be what?
Glory.
For Timothy. Okay, watch this. He says, verse 6, chapter 2 Timothy 4. He says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finish my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that what?" Now, there's that word again. That's we talked about that too. Love his what?
Appearing.
His appearing. That love his appearing. And wait a minute, Paul. I thought all saints would love to see the Lord. The love, see, we think of love in a different way than Paul thinks of love. Remember those verses we talked about where he says, "If any man love the Lord, the same is known of him." Yeah, I don't remember that. Okay, I'll just go through. Like he'll say, like in Romans, he said this. He said, "As many are led by the Spirit, of God, they are the sons of God." And then he said that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And if you love something, what do? How do you know that you love something or somebody?
In your heart, your soul, your mind.
Use Frank's definition and get just the opposite of that.
You can't love something that you don't know.
You can't love something that you don't know, but how do you know a person loves you?
Because he tells you, or she tells you.
They what?
The way they show it.
They demonstrate it the way they show it.
So we're in the illustration here.
Their actions. So if when, let me just cut to the chase so we can get back over here, is it's they can see that you value whatever that, whoever that is, or whatever it is, they see that you value it, because that's where you, I remember reading something to this, that you show me where a man spends his time and his money, and I'll show you that what a man loves.
So they have your greater good.
They have your greater good and your interest. Your, that's what you're directed toward. That
love is,
it's a verb. Well, make it personal. In us, it's where you direct your affections and attention and resources. Everything is focused in that way. And most, you can be saved and not love the Lord.
Except you don't know it.
See, I know.
I do have to believe that he is, and that he was resurrected.
That's the salvation part.
You could get saved because you love the Lord, right? And you find out what he's done for you, and you look at 2 Corinthians.
That's why Paul suffered afflictions, because he did what it took to try to bring the truth to others, even though he knew what it would cost him personally. That's the essence of love in terms of what Paul did.
Well, he didn't care what happened to him. He was, he already been up there and seen.
You know what? Say that again. He didn't care what happened to him. Why right. not?
Because his interest was in the love of the Lord. But
he said he would give himself.
See, now they coming. Now they coming. The verse is coming to you. I know it sounds strange when you hear that. Because we have a closed concept about things. But he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, he says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again." So you can, if you look at that and you can see this, he says, look, if one died for all, then all were dead, right? And that now that we henceforth should not live unto ourselves. Next step is what? We should not live unto ourselves, but for him who died and rose again. These, you surrender. He says, henceforth we should not live unto ourselves. He's expecting you to keep going. Okay.
But. No, it says in Romans 10, verse 9, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Bam, right
and
there.
You stop right there, you sit in your chair.
How many people you think do that? Is God okay with that?
Well, it says, well, thou shalt be saved.
He is okay with that. And what makes you go further is what we just read, is when you conclude that if he's done that and he bought me and he wants to use me, and he said, that's why he says in Romans, he says, I beseech you to do what?
Surrender.
Present your body as a living sacrifice. I don't demand. How long, and I remember this as like it was yesterday, where in Detroit, we were in the basement on a Wednesday night. I had been saved for a while. And matter of fact, I had been saved for a while, and I had been teaching for a while. But you know what I had never did?
I never surrendered.
I mean, I knew I had, you can volunteer to do things, you know, and you can do things out of obligation. You know, you know what I'm talking about? You know, say, you may not want to be there. Hey, Mike, we want you to play the drums next week. You may not be feeling that. But for whatever reason, you might go. But your heart's not in it. You're not completely sold on it. But I just remember that day, and then we were talking, and the pastor was preaching, and he says, "Have you ever surrendered? Have you ever told the Lord you want to take that next step in to serve Him?" And I thought, you know what?
He called me.
I had never done that. Matter of fact, because I didn't know that. Well, I read over the verses, but I never thought that the Lord, you can just imagine like this, where He just comes in, He says, "I want to use you. You've been coming to doing the rituals, you've been going to church, you've been going to Bible class, saying you love the Lord, but we get through and we do our own thing. We do it. We do the Wednesday. We do the Sunday. That's where I'm stopping. The 2-day deal. You know, what about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday?" Where we would come in and says, "What about it? What about going all the way with me?" Then I said, "You know what? That's what I want to do. If He wants that, that's why He says, by the mercies of God," where you think about everything that He's done, and you say, "I do. I want to go further." That's what that is. And you know what? And Paul said this to the Corinthians. He says, "Examine yourself." I don't have to tell you where you are up here. You can look at that and you know what? If you say, "I'm right here," or "I'm right here," or wherever we are on here, or where you know where you willing to stop at. You can say, "You know what? I'm saved. I'll do a few things, but that's it for me."
Is that a debate with yourself, or are you just daily working for glory?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's that's why the more we take in, I think the more He woos you towards the next phase because of this grace. Where you the more we talk about love, you can't love a person if you don't know anything about them.
Paul talks about a labor of love. This work is a labor of love.
"Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then all were dead." And were to quote the Paul, when Paul was in Ephesians, and he gathered those Ephesians elders together, he said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." And they said, "Don't go to Jerusalem." And he said, "What?" He says, I'm not only willing to go to Jerusalem, he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy. He said, none of these things move me, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I've been given to the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He was sold out. When he got to 2 Timothy, didn't he say, I finished my course, kept the faith? He said, that's me. And he's encouraging Timothy to do the same. But anyway, let's go back to Galatians.
You shouldn't look at it as something that you have to do. But it's something you're doing for the Lord. You're doing out of love. And that's why I said it's a labor of love that we're doing. Love for the brethren, love for others, to see them grow up and to become all that right there. That's what it's all about.
Truth, work, and effect.
That's, he said that I might finish my course with what? With joy. Not happiness. With what? Joy is from the inside, despite the circumstances. And it's joy is abiding. Abiding, it is constant.
Circumstances don't affect it.
They don't affect it. You're above the circumstances. All right, back to Galatians. But he said, you want your spiritual. And this is what you have to have that in mind, like Brother Smith said, is to have that man's, you have to have that man's progress in mind, his edification in mind when you go to him, because you can't send anybody to a believer who's overtaken in a fault. You want somebody who, in the word, he said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Restore it is to put him back in his proper functioning place. His proper functioning place is what? To, like Brother Smith said, to show him how to do what?
Hello.
How to go forward. Put him back on the course to being a son, to being used. And the only person that can do that is somebody who's doing that. Right? I think about her father. He would say, he said, we were having a dinner, and the pastor, he had been, maybe 30, 40 years. And he said, I wouldn't sit under anybody for 30 years if I didn't think he can help me.
Well said.
As only he could say. He said, I wouldn't sit under anybody for 30 years who I didn't think could help me get to where I need to be. I said, nah, that's a man who recognized
where he's going.
That the benefit from another person, from a father and a son leading him. And that's the thing, he said, you want your spiritual, you wouldn't want a carnal believer giving you advice on any matter of spiritual importance, would you? Let's use something something we can relate to is you say, I want to marry this guy or this girl, or I'm having problems in my marriage or whatever. Would you go to a believer, an unbeliever, and say, well, what do you think I should do in this situation? You might get this. I would have left a long time ago. Like the song said, I should have left him 1,000 times. You won't get that from a spiritually minded person. So, consequently, that's why believers don't. Let's keep going. We'll bring that out in a minute. You, which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What does that tell you? That believers are to do what?
Be humble.
Be humble. Bear ye one another's burdens. If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You think you're strong spiritually? Better watch out. That's you know what? We know a lot of believers who they can quote a lot of verses. And the next thing you know, it's like, did you hear? What happened? He hit the ground hard. Because if you think you are something when you are nothing, you know what makes us something, if you want to say something? Is staying with the Lord. Is you let him. You know what I'm saying? This is really hard to keep my thoughts together because I start thinking of all these verses and I think about how important the Apostle Paul is. Just little things that he would do, like when he went to the Corinthians and he says, he just wants your money. And he says, okay, well, I'll make my own money. I'll make my tents. So you won't say that he want the money. And he said this. He says, I'm doing this for the gospel's sake. Because he says, I don't want yours. You know what he said? He says, I don't want yours. I want you. Isn't that something? I love that because he wanted them to be. He says, and he said it. He says, I am not straitened. He said, I'm not upset. You're upset. And he says, I wish that you all were just like me. I wish you were completely on board with this. And he says, was he somebody in Christ? And he said it. He says, if they boast, he says, let me be foolish. Let me boast a little. He said, are they apostles? He says, so am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. He says, I forgot what he said, but he says, I'm more. And then he said, the things that I do, he says, I'm doing for the gospel. And then he starts talking about all the things that he suffered. Do you remember that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? But anyway, if any man think himself to be, yeah.
I just want to comment on that, that nothing, you know, if any man think himself when he is nothing, you know, that's something you really need to look into yourself and see, how long have I been in this, in say, you know, how much have I been getting into the scriptures, you know, and how much knowledge do I have, you know, you think about yourself, and then you'll see where you'll know yourself, you know, if you're something where you're not, you know, and so it's going to take years, you're just not going to get that experience, that knowledge, that wisdom all at one time. It's going to take years. It's going to take circumstances, God taking you through circumstances, and you learning from those circumstances. And
right.
By reading and studying the scriptures, we are to grow in knowledge. and grow up in Christ. And that takes time. It's a process.
How much time?
And that takes humbleness. It takes a long time, you know.
How long?
Lifetime.
And we, you know, even the mature believers, they still got a lot to learn. We still got a lot to learn, you know.
You know what? This Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. He said, let me find that.
You know, when you go to college, though, if you look down this line over here, you go in and you take many classes, but you're going to major in one. So you spend all your time, or the majority of your time, in that one. Where here, you're studying all of this for years. There's so much more there to know than there is in being a doctor, a chief, a candlestick maker, whatever.
That's why it takes a lifetime.
It takes a lifetime. That's what.
And it's, you know what, the moment, and there was a time, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we're going to look at chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 8. But there was a time where, and Eve, all of us, this is nothing unique to, everyone has a certain amount of pride. And the quicker you find out that you don't know anything, the quicker you can get down. Look, there's always somebody who knows less than you, but there's always somebody who knows more than you. And the more you know, the more you know that you don't know. And you should. Paul said this. He says, I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals. I knew more than them.
Was he bragging?
But he said, yeah, he said that. But you know what he said? And he says, but when it pleased the Lord to reveal his son in me. He knew then that, how much did he know?
Nothing.
So he says, everything that I counted gain, I counted what?
Loss.
For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that I might be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is by performance. And that's what you, just because you can read this stuff, just because you can quote verses, just because you know where, you know, the books of the Bible are, that's just knowledge. That has nothing to do with how you progress on this course. It has nothing to do with your surrender, your sanctification. You got the verses, but the doctrine isn't doing anything to you. Paul said this. Look at chapter 4. He said this. 4, verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Here's an apostle. He knew he had the message. Can you imagine that here's some believers whom he witnessed to, whom they got saved under his gospel, and they come to him. I don't even think he an apostle. Can you imagine that? He preached to the Corinthians. They got saved under his ministry. And then they turn around and says, I don't even know if he's an apostle. He says, doubtless I'm an apostle. Look at you. You're my proof. But he says, and they begin to judge him. And he said, no, I don't care what you say. He says, it's a very small thing for you to judge me. You know why? He said, because I don't even judge myself. I don't even elevate myself or compare myself. You know what he said? Look at verse 4. For I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judges me is what? Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have what?
Praise.
Praise of God. You know what? We like personalities. We evaluate each other. Oh, he's spiritual. He's not. She's spiritual. She's not. We do that. And Paul said, don't do that.
Don't judge others.
Because you don't know. You don't even know my motive. Sometimes I don't even know my motive. So I know you don't know. But I know that I want us all to grow. But everybody have those flashes of pride and envy and arrogance and whatever those fleshly feelings are. That's why Paul said, he said, you just labor. You just labor. And then when it's done, the Lord, that's what Paul said, the Lord, the righteous judge, he's going to reward me. So that's why I don't care. I don't care what you say. I don't care about your evaluation. I don't even evaluate my, well, I'm going to get me a minute. I'm going to get me a reward. Are you? You know how many people are laboring and thinking that they are going to get a reward? And Paul said, in that day, when they labor and God evaluates that work, poof, big cloud of smoke. And you think people know that what they're building is going to get burnt up? No. No, they don't. They're proud of the work they do. Okay, chapter 8. He says, chapter 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity builds up. Knowledge what? Puffs up, but charity what? Builds up. It builds up. And if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth what? Nothing as he ought to know. And here's that word. But if any man love God, the same is what? Known of him. There he is. There is that. If any man, you know, if you think you know, he says, you don't know as you ought to know. You know what is? All we're doing is walking together, growing together. Right? There's nobody, and he says this in 2 Corinthians, he says, not that we should have dominion over your faith, but we're just helpers of your joy. I can't tell you what to do. I can't say, watch me, look at me, do what I say do. All I can say is, this is what the Lord wants us to do. This is how he wants us to progress. Let's do it together. And in charity is for me looking out for you, you looking out for me. That's why he said in Galatians, he says, now, if somewhere along this line he has fell off, he said, you that are spiritual, he said, you go and restore him in spirit of meekness. That's in charity is putting that man back where he needs to be. In Corinthians, where the man was over, he was put out. Remember, the man was put out. Mm-hmm. And Paul said, you are puffed up. And rather, you should have mourned. You know what they were saying? I can't believe he did that. I can't believe that he was in the church doing that. In the church. He was still there. He was still among them. And they knew it. Everybody knew it. And he says, it's so commonly reported that the Gentiles don't even do that. And what he said? Mm-hmm. He says, it's been reported that there's fornication among you, such as...
It's not even named among the Gentiles.
He said, they don't even do that in the world, that a man should have his father's wife. And he said, and you are puffed up, and rather have not mourned. So they're sitting in there, and when he comes in, and they know it, and they say, do you believe him? I would never do that. I would never do that because I'm too spiritual for that. And then Paul, you know what Paul had? He said, what? You know, he said, there's utterly, utterly a fault among you. Is there not a, he's, in all the problems they had, is there not a wise man? Is there not a spiritual person among you who could help? So he said, now you put him out. And when they put him out for the destruction of the flesh to get over that, and then they say, you know what he said after a while? He says, go get him. Go get him and bring him back in. He said, you know what he said? Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know what he knew? He knew that if you thought you were better than the next guy, that you would never build him up. You would always tear him down. That's why I told the Galatians, he says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be what?
Consumed
one of another. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. Didn't he say that? As he began to go into chapter 6, he said, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. That's not a charitable walk. He said,
that's flesh provoking.
That's right. Let us, because you know what? You measuring my walk, I'm measuring your walk. You talking about me, I'm talking about you. You're not spiritual, I am. After a while, what's the opposite of building up?
Destroying.
Tearing down. verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ?
Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind.
No.
And your neighbor as yourself.
Nah, you're hitting it right. The law of Christ is this. He says, what he said, love thy neighbor as thyself and so fulfill the law. Romans 15 says this. He says that Christ, he bore the burdens, he bore the, let me read it so I won't miss. I know I'm misquoting it. 15:7.
Romans.
He says.
Romans 15.
Oh, I'm sorry. 15:1. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That's what Romans, Philippians, he said this, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let every you esteem another look not on the things of your own, but on things of others, wherewith we may edify one another. That's the spiritual believer. Is, you know, when I come here, we'll stop in a minute, is what I see is behind the scenes. When I say behind the scenes, that all the problems that we have, all the struggles that we have, you know, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, whatever. That's what I see. When we come in, is everybody's got a story. And I know it's somewhere along this line, if we don't have that doctrine fueling us, assuring us that you cut the car off and just park
and run a hose out of the tailpipe back into the
that's true, right? You get it, right?
Yeah.
And I know that the doctrine is what keeps us together. You know, everybody, you know, when we come in with the hour, praise the Lord, brother. God is so good. Hallelujah. We do that, right? But we have real life situations. And you need some doctrine to help you get through it. And not only that, you know what? We talk, Brother Smith. And it's like you need somebody spiritual that's going to help build you up. And when you call and say, listen, brother, it's like I'm depressed, whatever it is, or I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about getting off track, I'm thinking about, or if I call, it's like I'm overtaken.
That covers a lot of territory.
So you have to have somebody that you know has your best interests at hand to call. And you know what? This was back in Samuel, in the Old Testament, where when David was running for his life and from Saul, and all those people, they loved David. And he had been through a few things. And then when David was out in the wilderness and they heard that he was out there, and those people had begun to make a league with him, they had begun to go out to him. And you know what it said? It said this. It says, And David, all those people who were depressed and despondent and in despair went out to David. And scripture said, and he began to be a captain unto them. Thought that was great. You know what? Here's a man who he'd been through the suffering, he'd been through the trials, he's still running. And those people went out to him and they say, We upset too. I'm depressed too. And he began, the captain ain't just like, you go over there, you go over here. He began to be a captain. That means he was a comforter to them. He took them under the wing and said, you know what, it's gonna be okay. We gonna be all right together. So remind you, Hebrews were said that Jesus Christ was the captain of their suffering, and that's what we should all be, captains for each other. When he talks about restoring each other,
you want me to call you at 4 o'clock in the morning and tell you my
thing. I've gotten those calls. And from strange callers too. That's people who you didn't think would call.
They're charged by the hour, huh?
That's but you know what? Those are things that that you should be happy about, because you know that you're a nobody. And for somebody to see that, I know he has my best interests. I know I could call him and he won't judge me. He won't ridicule me. And I'll get some spiritual advice to the end that I might be strengthened and established.
You know, Paul tells us in his epistles that we have been saved by good works, but we've been saved unto good works. So in our labor of love, in our doing these good works of love and kindness, people take us for granted and just abuse us and use us because of our kindness and our love toward others, even toward our enemies. So Paul tells us to be not weary and without doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So just keep on keeping on.
Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall. You see that? Everything, when you read through there, you will find the progression. It's all over. And hey, we're going to stop right there. So you see why we can't get done? That's we got what, 2 verses, 3 verses? But thank you for being here. Merry Christmas to you all. I probably won't see you again unless my plans change. Merry Christmas. Enjoy your family and Happy New Year.